It's been so long since we learned brachas. I think we left off the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. No,
Sota.
I think we yes.
Sota.
Yes. Sota. What did I say? Brachas. No. I think Sota Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Yeah. The Gemara has on the top line a Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. The din is that a meis teifes Dalet Amud Letume. In HaTorah, there's a din of a meis is metami b'maga b'master b'ohel. There are three different tumas. If you have a dead sheretz, the Chumash singles out Shmoyna Shrotzim. There are eight rodents that the Torah says that are metami if they're dead. Calls man an animal is alive, it's not tummy. If you have the Shmoyna Shrotzim, one of the Shmoyna Shrotzim is dead, is metami b'maga. That's all, if you touch it. And if you're wearing gloves. What do you say about. Oh, about the Nachash. About the Nachash, at the end of the first period. Okay. And then there's a din, if it's a nibelas beim, or let's say they have flesh in the A&P, and somebody picks it up. So the flesh in the A&P is not geshochten, so it's nevela. So nevela is metame b'mago u'b'masa. Even though it's wrapped up, so there's no mago, because you have a chatzitza, but if you pick it up, that's called masa. Or if you push it, that's also called masa. So it's metame b'masa. And if you have a mace odom, a Jewish dead body, so it's not only metami b'maga b'masa, it's metami b'ohel. So Bas says the ohel, and then a mace akum, a goyish, a dead body, is a machlekes hatanoim. Is it only metami b'maga b'masa? Everybody agrees, metami b'maga u'b'masa. Machlekes is if it's metami b'ohel or not. So the Rambam paskins, like the Tana Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, that mace akum are not metami b'ohel. And the Tosfos paskin like the majority opinion. The Chachamim would disagree with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. They may say, Akama metami ba'oyel. That's the shayla where the kohen is allowed to be in the oil ameis with a meis akum. Is it metami ba'ohel? So what is ohel? So we discussed the three kinds of ohel. So one ohel is, here's the meis, and I lean over the meis. That's called ohel. Another ohel, I'm sitting over here and somebody carries the meis on top of me. That's also, the meis is mahel on me, or I'm mahel on the meis. Then the third ohel, that's called ohel hamshocha. I'm over here, and the meis is over there, and there's one roof that goes both over the meis and over me. That's called ohel hamshocha. Ohel hamshocha, the Gemara says in the end of Chulin, is not as chomer as the real ohel, where you actually mahel on top of the meis. That's what the Nesivis was on Misnagit, and he was blessed with a son-in-law who was a chassid. And they didn't exactly get along. Rabbi Kaveger also had a son-in-law who was a chassid. Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum was a son-in-law of Rabbi Kaveger who was a chassid. So they write about, he wrote letters. Rabbi Kaveger had a grandson who was a chassidish rebbe, Rabbi Leibler Eger. So the grandson used to correspond with his uncle, Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, the son-in-law of Rabbi Kaveger. He should tell him all the stories from his grandfather. He wanted to know Hanhoges, he wanted to know. So you have a lot of things there about the issues, chassidish issues, in the collection of letters that they have. So the Nesivis, his son-in-law, was a chassidish, and he said over a few things in the name of his father-in-law, the Nesivis, that are very questionable. The Avdei Nezer, the son-in-law was a Rav in Sachatchov, at the same time the Avdei Nezer was a chassidish rebbe in Sachatchov. Sachatchov a rebbe. So the son-in-law of the Nesivis said over things in the name of the father-in-law, so the Avdei Nezer thinks that he must have heard wrong. So one of the things that they all quote him as saying, and they wonder whether it's true, when the Chedush Arim passed away, so the son-in-law, I forgot his name, Maharoch, I forget that, Rabbi Avram Cohen or something, so the son-in-law of the Nesivis delivered a big hesped on Chedush Arim, and he published it in a separate sefer, but it's a tiny thing, the whole thing is in ganzen 35 pages or something, so they had a lot of extra blank pages in the end. So in Europe, they used to write Kadesh Alo Lahotzi Hanayor Cholok in order not to waste the blank pages. So he wrote Chidush Torah. So he's putting it together with a hesped on the Chidush Arim. So he wrote Chidush Torah and Hilchas Avelus and Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. The last section in Yeridei Chela Gimel has the laws of Avelus, laws of Tumas Kohanim. So one of the things he writes there in the end of this hesped, they have it in the YU library, in the Gottesman library, a thin sefer. So one of the things is, he says he heard it from his father-in-law, from the Nesivis, that what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you should be careful, akoinim should not be metame be'ohel, te may say akum. So the Nesivis said, that's only, he claims in the same name of the son, that's only, you shouldn't lean over the may say akum, or they shouldn't put the may say akum on top of you. But if I'm over here, the may say akum are over there, and you have an oil am shacha, that's more kal. So that, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't recommend lahachmer on that.
Was there a problem with every year on Navi being a crane and he was at the cemetery?
He was mechaya meis.
No, he ran over.
It was mamish mechaya meis. That's Tosis kasha. If the Gemara has, we're not sure exactly who Eliyahu Navi was. So some say that Pinchas Eliyahu Navi was Pinchas. Pinchas was a kohen. So how could it be mechaya the meis? That's Tosis kasha in the end of Bava Metzia. So Tosis answers that it was pikuach nefesh. You had a dead body there, and he was going to bring him back to life. That's what Tosis ends. That's a question. Is that really called pikuach nefesh? Pikuach nefesh means when a person is alive and he's deathly sick, and you want to keep him going. But if a person is dead, you want to bring back to life. Is that called pikuach nefesh? So that's the chiddush that Tosis writes. Does haystechet pikuach nefesh? So this is a question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said like that, that where he came from in Europe, that was the minig. That Kohanim are not metame to mesa akum ba'ohel is only if you're mahil on the mace or you're going to carry the mace on top of the kohen. But if the kohen is over here and the mace is over there and it's only oilam shacha, so Rav Moshe said that was where he came from, that was the minhag, that they were maker like that. And many gedolim in Europe wrote that they think the son-in-law must have misquoted the father-in-law. Absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So the Zel Bedin, the Gemara says not exactly the same. The Gemara says in the end of Chulin, Perek Arba Araita, that to lean over the mace, that mahil on the mace is mochomer the royal amshoch. The Gemara has one nachkemina la locha, but to say he quotes in the name of the nesivas that royal amshoch is only the rabbon. So they say that's absolutely incorrect. Oil Amshach is considered their Eisen. If the mace is in that room, and I'm in this room, and the door is open, that's only Midirabbanon, they say that's a mistake, that's certainly a Tumah Deraisa. You can say it's slightly lower level of Tumah Soil, but to say it's only Midirabbanon, that's not correct. See, here there's a Shaila. The Gemara says that a mace is Teufis Dalan Amis Midirabbanon. Mikaradin Deraisa, oil means, let's say this cup of tea is the mace, I put my hand on top, that's oil. Or if we're both under the same oil, that's oil. Fine. Oil amshach is oil. What if I'm standing over here, there's no roof on top, I'm standing over here within dalar amas to the mace. So that's a chumrim in the rabbanon, because I may wave my hand like this, I'll stretch my hand like this, I'll stretch a little further. So I may stretch out, be mahil on top of the mace without even realizing it. So it's made a chumrim in the rabbanon. How can you stretch out dalar amas? Who has such a long hand dalar amas? So the pashtus is, they had a chapon ashir. They wanted to make a gzera that if you're near a mace, you may by mistake be mahil without realizing it. So they had to get a shear. So what are they going to say? The length of an arm. See, each person has a different length of an arm. So they picked on a shear deraisa. Dalet ames is a din deraisa tfusas ames. There is a din of tfusas akever. L'maynaf kemina. So take for example, there is a gemara. I think last time we alluded to it, but we didn't discuss it. But it's important, halacha l'maysa. There is a gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, by Haruge Bezdin, if a person was put to death, skila Srefa Herik Chenek, because it was good to Mais and Tevim, so let's say they gave a person Chenek, so they choke him to death with a scarf. So the din is, it says, Kavatik Berenu, by Yamahud, the original Pasuk of Kvura, says by Haruge Bezdin. And the Gemara has a discussion, how do you know that if a normal person dies at home, how do you know that there's a mitzvah of Kvura? Maybe Kvura is only by Haruge Bezdin. So the Gemara says either one opinion, it's only Midirabbanon, we assume that it's Deraisa. By all Mason, there's a mitzvah kvur. But the original Pasuk of kvur, kiyya bish chayt mishpat mabes uhumas, vasili sa'as alayis, then it says, kavitik beredam bayamahu. The original Pasuk says, by harugi bez. So the Gemara darshans from the Pasuk, kavitik berenu, the sayif, let's say they gave mechenik, so the scarf that we choked him to death with should be buried together with the person. Or let's say Sai, if you take a sword and you cut off his head, so you have to bury that sword. You can't reuse the scarf, and you can't reuse that sword to give Saif or to give Chenek to someone else. You have to bury it right next to the mace. So Skila, you push him off of a house that's a few flights tall, and then if he died, he died. If he didn't die, then you start throwing stones. So you throw the two Adam, Yadu Adam, Tibar, Barishina. The two Adam have to pick up a very heavy boulder and drop it on his heart, and he's probably going to get killed with that big thing. So you have to bury that stone. You can't reuse the stone to give anybody else skila. You have to bury that stone with the person. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you bury it? In the same oren, in the same casket? The Gemara says, no, toch dal ramas. So the Gemara seems to say, imo betvisosa, the Gemara says. It's nigbari mimo, echad eves sheniskalbav, echad saif shenerekbav, echad sudu shenechnakbav, has to be buried imo. The Gemara says, not imo, not you don't put it in a pocket in the tachrichim. Tachrichim, they don't make with pockets. Can't take it with you. Okay. So you don't put it in the pocket. You put it near him. You put it tocht al ramis. So the Gemara says there is a concept that tfusas hameis min ha-Torah, that tocht al ramis is tfusas hameis. Or take, for example, the Pashto says we have a din. We have a din that's min ha-Torah. It says in Parshas Chayisora, when Sora died, so the people in Hebron, the Palestinians in Hebron, offered to Avram Avinu, the gimna must be covered dikikev. So he says, no, we have to bury in a Beis HaKvarosh Shel Yisrael. I'm not allowed to bury in the same. We live differently, we die differently, we're buried differently. Everything is different. Ger b'toisha v'nachim machim. We have things in common, toisha, but we have very different ger. Everything is different. They have to have a separate Beis HaKvarosh. So you're not allowed to bury a Yisrael next to an Ochri. The Gemara learns that from Pesukim in Novi. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a Rosha. Now that I bury a Rosh Hashanah next to a Rosh Hakal, that's why each group has their own, each shul has their own Beis HaKvaris in each organization. They're good in the Mizrachim, so each group has their own Beis HaKvaris on the assumption that each group does the same, approximately the same number of Averis. We assume that the other group probably does either more Averis than we do or less Averis than we do, so each group has their own Beis HaKvaris, because that's a din, Eikoivin Tzadik Eitzel Rosh. Ein kovin rasha chomer, it's a rasha kal. So what's the definition of ein kovin tzaddik? Let's say you have a Jew and a non-Jew. So you're not allowed to bury them near each other. How close is near each other? So the achrayim say tocht al ramis is tfusas hakever. You have to have a harchak of eight ramis. So you shouldn't have interlocking tfusas hakever. So ein kovin tzaddik, it's a rasha. Also, you have to have a harchak, minimum harchak of eight ramis. That's what the achrayim talk about. What if you have a Jew who became a mishumet? And a Jew, a Reformed Jew, and they want to bury an Orthodox Jew next to a Reformed Jew, you're not allowed to. He's full of Averis, and he has much fewer Averis. Maybe. different kinds of Averis, different kinds. But it's not the same. Not the same number of Averis, not the same type of Averis. Not allowed to bury them next to each other. So you need a Harchok of Eid Amos. So the Pashto says that this is all a Din Deraisa. Dal Ramos is the Tfusas HaKever, when it gets to the din of burying the Evan Sheniskalbo and the Suda Shenechakbo and the Saib Shenerakbo and the din of not burying Tzadik Eitzel Rosha, Nochri Eitzel Yisrael, Dal Ramos is the Shia Tfusas HaKever. So they had a Shia Dal Ramos that's Negev to a mace. Dal Ramos around the mace is called, sometimes the Mishnais have Tfusas HaKever Mitavov, and for the Galitziana it's spelled in the Mishnais as Tfusas HaKever. Two correct ways of saying the word, either Tfusas HaKever or Tfusas HaKever.
What happened when a person throws with the shovel dirt? He's also become Tameh? Dirt and the Kever?
Yeah, he's always going to be within Dalet Amos of the mace. It becomes Tameh. Midirabbanan. Minatar is only Tameh if he actually leans over the mace. Midirabbanan, if he's within Dalet Amos, he'll become Tameh. Yeah?
So sure. Shimi Har Sinai, Dalet Amos is Bihar Sinai, the shield.
Yeah. Shiurim, yeah. The Gemara says Shiurim Arol Halachal Moshe Messina. So the Pashtus is that this Shiur is a Shiur Derais Halachal Moshe Messina, like all the Shiurim. So the Pashtus is when the Chachamim wanted to make a Gzeira, they're afraid, I'll stand next to the mace and by mistake I'll wave my hand over the mace and I won't realize it. So they had to say, if you're within a certain proximity to the mace, you're ready to tell me with the Rabbana. So what are they going to make up a Shiur, how long the longest arm is? A person is 7 feet tall, there are people 7 feet tall. How long can his arm be? He's going to make up a new shear. So we have a cloud called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there. I said, Tikkun, so the Chapman Alamol on, they'll always take some shear that always takes some din deraisa and modify it. So over here, they took the shear Dalaramis. Shear Dalaramis is the shear of Tfusas HaKever. They said, if you took Dalaramis, it's Matami. That's why I thought it was very difficult many years ago. Maybe 15, 20 years ago, I remember I visited Eretz Yisrael. So they were showing me from a certain yeshiva, they had a collection of tshuvas by Samrov. So he said, that's a mistake, Zokta. He says, we pass him, so why do you have to be marchik dalarama? Because he may wave your hand over. You wave all you want. He's not metami ba'oil. So the whole din of dalarama is saviv lameis, is a din with the Rabbanon that he may wave his hand over the mace without realizing, but Meseyakum, there is no need for Dal Ramos. So he says the din that you have to have, you shouldn't have interlocking Tfisas HaKever. You have to have Archoka, Pches Amis, that's Tzadik Eitzel Rosha, where they're both Jewish. They're both Jewish, and they both have Tumah soil, so there's a din of Tfisas HaKever, there's a din of Dalar Amis, so you can't have interlocking Tfisas HaKever. But the Archoka between a Yid and a Goy, that's enough with Dalar Amis. You don't need Ches Amis. So I thought it was wrong. I thought, and on the level of the Raisa, what's the din of Ein Kerv and Tzadik Eitzel Rosha? You can bury them one next to the other because there's no din of Dalar Amis either on the level of the Raisa. So when do you violate Ein Kerv and Tzadik Eitzel Rosha? Only Mamish, you bury them hugging each other. The Tzadik and the Rosha, Mamish, they're one on top of the other. Of course they're one next to the other, and that's exactly what the Yisr is. So what's the Shir Harchoke? The Shir Dalar Amis only mid the Rabbonot. So I thought the answer is no. Dalar Amis for Mesis, Teufis, Dalar Amis, Letumah, that's the Rabbonot, but it's patterned after the din deraisa that there is such an institution of Dalar Amis of Tfisas HaKever. That Tfisas HaKever is a din deraisa by Mesa Yaakov and by Mesa Yisrael. So I thought that's a din deraisa that you have to have Archok of Ches Amis. I didn't think he was right at all. So I wrote about it in my Sefer. Whoever reads my Sefer. I thought I didn't want to write who I was attacking. It was one of the prominent Rabbanim from the Rabbanut. I thought it was 100% wrong.
Which of your Sefer?
In Eretz HaTzvi. I remember when I published Eretz HaTzvi, so Nechemi Kleiman used to sit right over here. Now he sits in Eretz Yisrael and he listens to the shiur. Okay. So he said he went through the Sefer and he sees that the recurrent theme in the Sefer from the beginning to the end, I didn't realize it, the recurrent theme is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. So after I thought about it, I realized that he's right. I write about that theme more often than any other theme. That theme is repeated throughout many of the essays in my Sefer. 40 essays. So this was one essay where I had different examples of Kod HaTikun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. This was one of them. I thought that the Dalar Amis for Mace, that is Metami Sviv of Dalar Amis, Mid Rabbanan, is patterned after the Din Deraisa that a Mace has a Tfisas HaKeva Dalar Amis. Anyway, in Yerideya, they point out that this Din, that a Mace and Metami Sviv of Dalar Amis, only applies if there's no wall. Let's say they have the mace right over here, they're carrying the mace out, and I'm standing within Dalar Amis. Let's say the mace is inside the chapel, and I'm walking in the street. And I know, I look through the window, and I see the mace is right next to the window, and I'm walking in the street within Dalar Amis of the mace. But there's a wall mapsik in between. I can't put my hand through the wall. Let's say there's a window that has a pane of glass, and then there's a brick wall, and you can't put your hand over. So whenever there's a wall that's mafsig, the whole din derabbanan doesn't apply. The whole reason for the din derabbanan is that agzera derabbanan, that you may put your hand over. By mistake, you may put your hand over and be mahil.
Would it be anything with an open window?
Could be. If you have an open window, it could be that then the heta doesn't apply. Because it is possible to stick your hand in. Yeah, yeah.
So heta on the airline is the fact that the mess is in such a position that you can't reach it. The bottom of the plane recovered.
No, let's say there would be a mace downstairs. And we're upstairs. So the tumah doesn't go. The fact that there's a floor is chaitzis bifnei tumah doesn't go. Unless the door is open and there's a staircase going down and the doors, the front door to the sanctuary of the sanctuary is right downstairs. So if there's a mace downstairs and the hallways are all open, so then the tumah goes like this. But let's say if the doors are closed and the mace is downstairs, so the tumah doesn't go up. The problem is it's an oil zoruk. So an oil zoruk means while the plane is standing still, so you have no problem. The floor is chaitzitz bifnei tumah, and when I walk in the passenger section and the mace is in the cargo section on the bottom, so there's a floor that's mafsik in between. Shaila is once the plane starts to taxi on the ground, so then the Gemara has a lashon that it's an oil zoruk, a moving ohel. So an oil zoruk, the Gemara says, has a din of oil lahachmer, and it doesn't have a din of oil lahokel. So the upper, let's say I'm in the passenger section, so the roof on top of the passenger section is considered an oil lahavias atuma, and the floor in between the passenger section and the cargo section is not an oil to be chaitzitz b'fnei atuma. Such a kakai din, how can it be? So that's what some say, it has to be a midirabonon. How can it be that it's an oil ahachmer, not an oil ahakel? They say it's a dead giveaway that minatara, it is an oil. It's only a chumer midirabonon not to consider it an oil. Now they disagree. No, it's minatara, this combination. That the oil zarek, the moving oil, has a din of oil ahachmer, not lahakel. once the plane takes off, it's in the air, then it's more of an oil zorach. Then Tosfos writes in Gittin and in Erevin and in other Masechtos that it's not an oil, not lahakol, not lahachmer. The Tosfos quotes a Mishnah like that. Let's say someone has their laundry hanging up on a laundry line, and the sheets are waving in the air, and let's say there's a mace under the sheet. Sheet is waving up in the air. There's a mace over here, and I walk Dalar Amis away. I'm not Turk Dalar Amis. I'm walking over here, and the mace is over here, and the sheet is more than Dalar Amis long, and it's an oil hamshocha. So the Tosfos quotes from Mishnah is that such an oil that's not even connected to the ground at all. It's all the way up there in the air. So if you have a bus that's riding on the ground, the wheels of the bus are riding on the ground, so then the roof of the bus is considered an oil lahavias hatume. And the floor of the bus, let's say the bus is going over a cemetery, so the floor of the bus doesn't have a din of oil to be chaytzis b'fnei hatume, but the roof of the bus is maybe a satume. So it's an oil lahachmer, not an oil lahakol. But once it's already elevated from the ground, so when the plane is taxiing on the ground, that's the problem. That the roof of the plane is maybe a satume, and the floor of the passenger section will not be chaytzis b'fnei hatume. But then when it takes off in the air, so it's neither maybe a satuma nor chaytzis b'fnei hatuma. So it's considered as if each passenger is flying in the air. So unless you're directly on top of the mace, if I'm whoever's the lucky winner, if the mace is directly below me, so you ignore the floor and the roof on top of you. It's considered as if you're directly above the mace. So that'll be oil. But if you're not directly above the mace is under the pilot or wherever it's going to be. So then there won't be maybe a satuma nor chaytzis b'fnei hatuma.
Flying over a cemetery.
Flying over a cemetery, forget about the roof and the floor. But if I'm directly above the mace, then that's going to be ohel. That's going to be ohel. That's a big question. How can a kohen travel in an airplane? If you go, let's say from New York to California, you're going 3,000 miles. So it's impossible to go 3,000 miles without going over a cemetery. There must be a cemetery somewhere. Must be going at some time or another, going directly above a mace. So forget about the roof and the floor. I am on top of the mace, even if I'm flying in the air.
But that could be mainly Goyish
cemetery. Okay, so we're machmer even Goyish cemeteries on Mitami Ba'ohel. That's the problem. So if we discussed when we learned Erevin, when the plane is above the clouds, so there's a Tosfos in Erevin, what Tosfos says, that's called Barakia. Under the clouds is Mitzurif to the earth, and above the clouds is called Barakia. So the Lashon HaMishnah is that Tumas Meis is Bakas V'yola Ad Lorakia. It goes up until the Rakia, doesn't penetrate past the Rakia. So if the plane is above the clouds, that takes a while when the plane is above the clouds.
50,000.
What kind of
clouds are we talking? What kind of? They are low clouds, they are higher
clouds. Mistama, the lowest cloud. The stomach, when you reach the level of the lowest cloud, does say Shein Bo Rakia. Once you reach that level, you are in the Rakia. Rakia does mean the heaven, it's the skies. It's not heaven, that's not where the Malachim are, but that's Rakia. Rakia is the sky. So the Tumas Bakas V'yola Ad L'Rakia. Let's say Tumas Bakas V'yoredes Ad HaTahoim. So let's say I'm walking on this side of the globe and I can ascertain that directly opposite me, whatever is opposite, China, Japan, I have no idea.
Australia
is directly opposite me. That's 12 hours away. So Australia, let's say there's a dead body buried there. You can ascertain there's a dead body there. So you're going to say that Tumas Meis goes directly through the other side. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, he writes in his Sefer, that's ridiculous. There must be a limit. The Rambam says, Afilu Meo Ama. But it doesn't go through the other side of the earth. So Mistama Tumas HaMeis Bokasi Yoredes Ad HaTahoim. Up until the Tahoim, until the middle where the molten lead is, in the middle of the globe of the earth. So the Tumah goes up until there, but it doesn't go past there. So similarly, the Tumas Meis is Bakas V'yoyla Ad L'Rakia, goes up until the Rakia, but not into the Rakia. So Tosfos writes in a different context. Tosfos there is talking about Tchumen. Tosfos writes that once you pass the lowest level of the clouds, above that level, that's called Barakia. So there's room to argue the point, Kozman, the plane is above the clouds, the tumor doesn't go up that high. Yeah, but till the plane, a plane from Kennedy Airport, that's what they told me.
It goes over the ocean before it climbs.
It goes first over the ocean when it goes to Los Angeles. How does it go?
From
Different routes.
So there are three. I was told that three sides, north, west, and south, of Kennedy Airport is all Jewish cemeteries.
There are, yes.
So that's a problem. Is the Kohen permitted to go? Is Kohen permitted to go west? If he's leaving Kennedy Airport, you're going to go on top of a Jewish cemetery before or above the clouds. So one of the Gedolim in Europe wrote a whole tshuva about this. I thought it was very difficult. The Kozhiklov at Kohen, he was the Rav in Kozhiklov before the First World War. And then after the First World War, that was the end of his rabbanus. His whole community was destroyed. Then when the Lublin Rav, Rav Meir Shapiro, founded the yeshiva in Lublin, that beautiful yeshiva with the pillars in front, the beautiful building that's now used as a yeshiva, that beautiful building. So he invited the Kozhik Lava Goyen that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva there. And he gave shiurim, and he gave drushes, and he gave chsidus, and he was there. And then he was killed by the Nazis. He survived the Warsaw Ghetto, and then the Nazis killed all the survivors afterwards, so he was killed. His brother apparently is close to yeshiva, so his brother donated some money, so the fifth floor in the library, 5A, has a picture of a Kozhik Lava Goyen, and the floor is dedicated in memory of this Goyen. He was not a Torah Mata man, he didn't go to university, but he was a great Goyen and a great tzaddik. So he has a collection of tshuvas that's called Eretz Tzvi. His name is Tzvi. So in his tshuvas, he has a whole essay about this. How can Frum Yidin, who are Kohanim, how can they go by airplane? Aren't they going above cemeteries? So I think he has 8 tzdodim lohakel. I was not too taken by any of the fantastic bikiyas. Fantastic, each tzad is a genius. But genius heinzig is a genius monk. I didn't think that they were always gehalten.
So is there a good one?
So I thought above the... Yeah, I printed a whole essay. I printed on my sefer. I printed a whole essay, what I thought was room to be made. Above the clouds, I thought there's room to be made.
No,
and even below the clouds, I had a suggestion. Yeah.
When you fly al al, they put the aura inside of another box.
Right.
But does that help you with this movable ohel? You know, does that help you?
It may or may not help. The Rambam holds it does not help. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos on Aholus in the first Perek writes that an ohel that's within an ohel.
Right.
The smaller ohel is not chaytzitz b'fnei atuma. Let's say you would have a mace in this room, in a little ohel, and then you have the big room, the roof of the big room is above the whole ohel. If you would have a mace in a room next, I would have, let's say you go to a museum, and they have a dead body from 5,000 years ago, a mummy or something, and the walls that cover the mummy go all the way up to the ceiling. So that's not an ohel within an ohel, that's an ohel next to an ohel. And all next to all, chaytzes b'fnei atuma. But sometimes they have a mummy under glass,
right,
and there's empty space on top. So that's an ohel within an ohel. So the Rambam writes that the outside ohel swallows up the inner ohel, and the inner ohel is not chaytzes b'fnei atuma. So the Rambam holds that it doesn't help. Other Rishonim do not learn the Mishnah like that. The Rambam has a different shita from the other. Other Rishonim learn that it would be chaytzes b'fnei atuma. It's just, but it's a shiloh sof tuma lotze, still an issue. So there's room to be mekel. Others are mekel for a different reason. The Meiri in the end of Shabbos, Tosis has a lot of kashas against Rashi. Tosis rips apart Rashi. They don't know what Rashi is talking about. So the Meiri comes to defend Rashi. So he explains that this din of oil zaruk is not chaytzitz b'fnei atuma when the plane is taxiing. That means if the plane is moving on the ground like this, and there's a mace below the ground, there's a mace on top of the ground, and the plane is moving on top of the mace. So then the plane is not chaytzes b'fnei atuma, because one is moving and one is stationary. But what if you have the maces in the cargo section and I'm sitting upstairs? So the mace, with respect to me, we're staying in the same position. No one's moving away from the other one. It's like I have a whole apartment building that's flying in the air. So the Meiri claims, according to Rashi, that's not called Oil Zoruk. It's only called Oil Zoruk if you're in an automobile and the automobile is moving on the wheels and it's going over a highway that was built on top of cemetery. So that's an Oil Zoruk. It's not Chaytzes B'fnei Atuma. But if everything stays in the same location, the cargo section with the passenger section, and the whole thing is moving, so the Meiri claims that that's not called Oil Zoruk. So there are those on Mekel based on that Meiri, but Tosis is not happy with that. Tosis does not like that. Tosfos couldn't even imagine what in the world is Rashi talking about. They ask a whole list of kashas. This is the way they defend Rashi. So that's why says some rely on tziruf. Maybe the Meiri is right, and maybe an oil with inside an oil is also good enough. So that's why whenever they ship a mesim to Eretz Yisrael, so they put a cardboard box on top of the oren, an oil within an oil. So there's a tziruf of a sfeksveker. There's room to be made. Now Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, he thinks that it's not good. He doesn't think that these are significant dodim lahakum.
What about the valise? They are together with our own vessel. No? The same, the belly of the airplane. There is a valise there.
In the
mace is in the same problem room.
Okay, so everything in the valise will become tummy? Okay. The begotten will become tummy? Okay. One of the rabbanim from London, Rabbi Chanoch Ehrentroy, he lives half a year now in Yerushalayim, he's semi-retired now, so he's a kohen. So he once wanted to go by plane from London to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that they were taking a mace. So he took a nylon sack, and he put himself, nylon is not mekabel tumah. So there's a din chumash of a mukav tzomet pasel. If you have a klicheres, so there's a din klicheres is mekabel tumah, and it has no tar b'mikvah. But klicheres only mekabel tumah from the inside. It's not mekabel tumah. If you, let's say this is a klicheres, and I touch it from the outside, it's not mekabel tumah. You have to touch it from the inside. So what if you have a klicheres in an oil amase? There's a dead body here, so the tumas mase is considered as if it fills up the whole room and it fills up the inside. So it's mekabel tumah from the inside. What if you have a lid on top? So the Chumash says if it's mukav tzomet pasul, if the lid is snugly held tightly, if the lid is just on top of the cookie jar and you can pick it up, that's not mukav tzomet pasul. But if the lid is attached tightly, then the tumah doesn't go in, because it's not mekabel tumah on the outside, and since it's closed tightly, so it's chaytzitz b'fnei tumah, whatever is inside is not mekabel tumah. So the same din applies whenever you have material that's not mekabel tumah. So let's say nylon. Many hold that nylon is a synthetic material. Not many hold. Nylon is a synthetic material. That's a fact. And it's so many hold that it's not mekabel tumah. So this Dayan Ehrentroy, he wanted to go from London to Eretz Yisrael. He knew there was a mace on the plane, so he took a nylon sack and he put himself when the plane was sitting still, so the floor is chaytzis b'fnei tumah. It didn't become an oil zarek yet. The whole problem goes when it starts to taxi. And then when it's flying in the air, there's no problem because he's not directly sitting on top of the mace. So he only needed the sack when the plane was going to be taxiing before it took off the ground. So he wrapped himself in this nylon sack and then he tied a knot and he was inside. He could breathe. There was air going through. There was no problem. And that was, since he tied it tightly, so that was mukav tumah pasul. So the stewardesses got so petrified and the passengers got so scared. They were screaming, help, the guy's committing suicide. They didn't know what was going on. So one of the rabbanim wrote it up. There's this sefer on kelim, a mishnayis kelim, that has pictures of all of the different kelim, because we don't know what these correspond to. So one of my children had it, was given as a gift. He was learning mishnayis before his bar mitzvah. So the one who put out the sefer with all the pictures, he put the story on the first page in the introduction. That you should know, based on these mishnayis, that if you have a sack that's made from synthetic materials, not mekabel tumah, so if the person goes inside the sack and he closes it tightly, makes a knot, he can breathe through the sack, there's no problem. So that's chaytzis b'fnei tumah. You have to tell the people in advance what you're doing, so they won't think that you're committing suicide or a suicide bomber, or a terrorist or something. I have to explain.
They cover the aron with nylon. When they cover the aron with nylon,
that doesn't help. If you have a mukav tzomet pasul and the mace is outside, this protects what's inside from being mekabel tumah. But if you have a kazaisa mace in the cookie jar, then it doesn't prevent the tumah from going out. Tumah will go out. Mukav tzomet pasul only protects the inside of the kli from being mekabel tumah, but it doesn't prevent, if the tumah is inside, it doesn't prevent it from going out. So even if you put a nylon sack, around the oren, take an oren on an airline and put a nylon sack around, that's not going to help, because mukav tzomet pasul doesn't help to prevent tumah from going out, prevents tumah from coming in. Anyway, that's an important gemara, that the mace is metami ba'oihel, And they made Xer the Rabbanon, Toch Dal Ramis is Matame Midi Rabbanon. And if you have a wall mapsik, then in your idea, the Shach quotes, if you have a wall mapsik, then it's then the din of Dal Ramis doesn't apply, because he can't stick his hand there. There are some people who like to visit the Kever of the Lubavitch Rebbe, not far. So a kohen is not allowed to go on a cemetery. Not allowed to go talk to Dal Ramis of the Meis either. So some of the people want to go, so they have a wall, they take a wall and they put it on their shoulders. They have a strap on the two shoulders and it has a portable wall around them. And the wall is 10 tefachim tall. So since you have a wall, so it's chaytis b'fnei atumah, this din of Dal Ramis doesn't apply whenever you have a wall. Yeah, but that's if you have a wall like this and you can't put your hand through. But here the wall is 10 tefachim tall, but it goes up to my shoulders. My hands are sticking out. So what does that help? You can stick your hand out over here. So that's a shracha maisa. That's a very shracha hetta. That's not right. Kohanim shouldn't go. There are sources where it says that kibbutz tzaddikim meinim etamim. Kibbutz tzaddikim meinim etamim. Kibbutz tzaddikim meinim etamim. Taisvus in the end of Ksuba says what it means is when the nasi, the din is a kohen is not permitted to be metamei to meisim. Alas, kiim l'sheir ha-karavela. It's one of the zayin kravim that is permitted to be metame. And there's a machleka satanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmo, we pass him like Rabbi Kiva, he's mechuyiv to be metame. That's in the beginning of Satan, Dav Gimel Amar Aleph. There are three psukim where there's a machleka, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmoel, whether it's a reshus or a chayva. So one of them is the pasuk that says, if the sister dies, lo yitama. So Rabbi Shmoel says, lo yitama reshus. If he wants to attend the funeral, he may. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. We pass him like Rabbi Kiva, lo yitama chayva. What's it doing in Saita? Because the pasuk says, if a husband suspects his wife that she's not faithful to him, it says, "Va'over al v'ruach kina v'kina yisishtoi." So the Gemara says that's also machalek. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva says, "Chayva." If he suspects that there's something going on, he's mechuyev to be mekane his wife to warn her. Al tistri mishplani, you shouldn't hang out with that fellow. I think you're having an affair. And Rabbi Shmuel says, "No, va'over al v'ruach kina v'kina yisishtoi v'shus." If he warns his wife. These are the dinim, but there's no mitzvah to warn his wife. And the third pasuk is in connection with Eved Kenayni. It says, "Liyor l'mahem tavoidu." If you have an Eved Ivri, you have to set him free after Sheish, 6 years after you bought him. Whenever you bought him, whenever the 6 years are up, miyom liyom, you have to set him free. Unless he's an Eved Nirtza, so you keep him until Yoivam. But if you buy an Eved Kenayni, liyor l'mahem tavoidu, you don't have to set him free after Sheish, you don't have to set him free when it comes Yoivam. So Rabbi Shmuel says that on tavoidav is the rishus. If you want to keep him liyal nevod, you may. And when you die, goes be rusha to your children. But if you want to set him free, gizuntehei. You want to free the eved kenayni, gizuntehei. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva that a meshach haravdoi oiva beesei. You're not allowed to free the eved kenayni. That liyal mam tavoidav is a choiva. So the Gemara puts together all the three psukim that there's machlegs Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. That's what he's doing over here in the beginning.
Why, according to Rabbi Shmuel, wouldn't it be a Kol Yisrael Arevim? If you're in a position to prevent your wife from doing something by being mekane her, then why wouldn't you be afraid to do that?
He should give her. I think everybody agrees that he should give a musar, he should try to straighten her out, but if he's going to be mekane her, alt history, mishplaini. Then later on, if she'll do stira, then she'll become asura alav, unless he'll bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva lived after the Churban Abayis. So he says, look, today, bizman shein Beis Hamikdash kaim, you're going to be mekane liishtecha, and then she'll do stira, so she'll be asura lebaila without any heta. That's called a saita sofik. A saita vadai means, if you know bevadai, the ishish ish was mezana. So then they have to get divorced. A saita sofik means there was kinu stira. The husband warns his wife, "Al tistri mishploini, don't be alone."
Until she drinks the water, she's a
suffix. So bizman shein beis hamikdash kayam, it'll create an issa that has no heter. And even bizman beis hamikdash, what does he have to be mekane her in such a way that she become asura baila? He should give her musa shmuis without an official kinui. So he'll try to straighten her out, and but not to the extent that it'll trigger an issa. He doesn't have to do in such a way that he should create an issa on him. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's only a reshus. If he did it, these are the dinim. Rabbi Kiva holds him a chuyif to. He has to warn his wife, al tistri mishploni.
Is there any issa for a kohen to be in the middle of a cemetery if he's Dalai Lama's away from any Torah?
If he's Dalar Amos away, there's no problem. But usually you don't have Dalar Amos away. The Kohanim go in the path in the middle, so either on the right side or on the left side, there's always going to be a mace that's buried so close that there isn't going to be Dalar Amos. Shvach HaMaisis, yeah. So I started to explain about the din. The din is that a Kohen is not permitted to be Metamel a mace unless one of the Zayin Kraven. So we'd pass on like Rebbe Kiva, the Lo Yitam is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says that the Nasi Shemeis, if the chief rabbi is called the Nasi, Nasi Shemeis, Hakol Kreivov. Everybody's related. The Gemara says, Hakol Kreivov is Halkadaitach. It's not true. His family is related. The other people are not related. The Gemara says, Hakol Kikreivov. The whole Kehillah has the status as if they would be Kreivim. They're just like Kreivim, are Mechuyev to be Metami to design Kreivim. The Kohen is Mechuyev to be Metami. So if the chief rabbi dies, Nasi Shemeis, everybody has to attend the funeral. Out of Kavod HaTorah, even the Kohanim.
That's one of the examples.
Right, the Gemara says, how do you have a Hechetim said that every Roiv HaTzibur is Tomei when it comes to Erpes? The Gemara says, Kegon Shemes HaNasi, and everybody had to participate in the funeral. That's correct, yeah. But I want to add on, the Gemara says, even Kohanim. So that's what the Taisva says. Rab Chaim Kohen was a Kohen. Rab Chaim Kohen, he was a Talmud of the Rabbi Natam. So when the Rabbi Natam passed away, he had moved already to a different city. He says if he would have been there, he would have been Metameh to Rabbi Natam, because Rabbi Natam wasn't the chief rabbi, wasn't the Rasa, but he says he was his Rebbe. So out of respect for his Rebbe, that's the din, like Zayin Kroivim, Hakol Kikroivim. So that's how most of the Poskim understand that. Kivet Tzadik Kamein Metame means at the time of the Kvura. Kohanim are permitted to participate at the time of the Kvura. Just like the Zayin Kroivim, the Kohen is permitted and obligated to participate before you bury the mace. But once you bury the mace, let's say they buried the sister of the Kohen in the edge of the cemetery, and the Kohen participated in the funeral. Then he wants to come back on the yard site to visit his sister's kev. So there's no heter. When you say kibbutz tzaddik kamein metamim, so the Rishonim say it does mean it's never metamim li yalavod. It means the kohen is permitted and obligated to participate in the kvura out of kavod hameis. Once the mace is buried, so kibbutz tzaddik kamein metamim. They are metamim.
Then
you
mentioned about the
Labanim
Shimon.
Yeah.
Hector Kanzer. Kind of it doesn't say also like in Arabin or something about. We Kodesh Visa, you could even do it in the middle of a cemetery, that even though Kohen can't go there, but you can go with Shita Teva Migdal.
Yeah.
So that's not a thing going.
Right, so the Gemara says Shita Teva Migdal is going to be an oil Zoruk, and that'll be totally in the Machalek of Satana. Well, oil Zoruk is Chaitzitz Bifnatum, we pass in it, it's not Chaitzitz. So it's no good. You can't call it a Shita Teva Migdal. That's what the Gemara in Erevin introduces this Shaila, whether oil Zoruk is Chaitzitz Bifnatum or not. We pass in it's not Chaitzitz. So this is an important Gemara, Loch HaLamaisen, that the mace is Metami Dalar Amos Vivov Min Derabbanon, because it exerts that it may be Mahal on top of the mace. Let's continue about 10 lines from the top of Mem Dalar Amos Masech HaSoita, 10 lines from the top of Mem Dalar Amos Aleph. So the Gemara is working on the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Mihu Yesh HaShe'er HaSisha V'loi L'Kocho, if he is Erison and there's Nisuin. The Erison is Kiddushin. Give a ring, say Harei Emukudeshesli, that's called the Erison. In modern Hebrew, you say when a girl gets engaged, you call it erison. But in Chumash, that's called shiduchim. That's called shiduchim. Rabbi Breuer, Zechon Avach, used to be makbid, that when a couple was engaged, everybody calls him a chasen kala. So he was makbid. He said, Rabbi Yonis and Abish, it's right. It's called a meshudach and a meshudachas. It's not called a chasen kala. Chasen kala is after they got married already. Rabbi Yonis and Abish complains about the fact that when people get engaged, so they start to be mezalzel in the laws, they're holding hands a little bit, the girl didn't go to mikveh, what is he holding hands? No heter. So he said, you shouldn't call them a chasen kala, you should call them a meshudach and meshudachas. They should realize they're no special status, al pi din, no special kulas apply. So here the pasuk says, erasisha v'lo lakach, erasim means kiddushin, that they got married but they didn't have nisuin. So the pasuk says that he can't draft them into the army. Erasisha v'lo lakach, yelach v'yashu lebeisim. So, the Brisa says it doesn't make a difference whether he's ma'aris, a girl who's getting married for the first time, or he's marrying a girl who was previously married to someone else, and this is her second marriage. Echad ha'maris es ha'psula, whether it's the first time for her, echad ha'maris es ha'almona, even if she was previously married, the husband died, they're not marrying her now. Still, erisisha v'lo lekocha. V'echad shemeres yavam, let's say the brother died, leaving no, brother was married, leaving no children, no descendants from this wife or from any other wife. Let's say the brother who died had children from a first marriage. And now he dies, and he had a second wife. And the second wife he married when she was 60 years old. So of course they have no children. So then there's no din of Yibum. The din of Yibum doesn't depend, Yibum v'chalitza doesn't depend whether this couple had children. It depends whether the man ever had children at any previous time. Even if the Mishnah says he had children from a girlfriend. He wasn't married to the woman at all. Let's say he had children from a Jewish girl. If he had a Goyish girlfriend, the Bein is not Jewish, the children are not Mesiach Zacharov. But Mishu b'no mikol makom, if it's his child, even from a Pnuya, so then there's no din of Yibum v'chalitza. Same thing. Grusha, Almana. Okay. Same thing, we're going to say Grusha. Grusha, the Kohen, is nit. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, that's a prohibited marriage, so then he's not Potter from the army. But if a non-Kohen marries a Grusha, then he is Potter from the army. See from the next line. Only a Kohen be Grusha is not. Yisrael be Grusha is also Potter from the army. So again, what's a din of Shemeres Yavam? There was the simple reading in the Chumash is that when a man dies, so it's preferable to do Yibum, that the surviving brother should marry the Almana. And if he doesn't want, she doesn't want, the second best is to do Chalit. That's what it sounds like in the Chumash. And in the Gemara, there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, Ba'al B'Shol and the Chachamim, on the level of the Rabbanon. Do we leave it the same as it is on the level of the Raisa, or do we change it? So the Ashkenazim hold, that's a Machlokes HaTapaskin. The Ashkenazim hold that the din was changed in the Rabbanon, that we only permit you to do Yibum if you're marrying the Yevama L'Shem Shamayim. L'shem mitzvah. But if I'm marrying her because I always had a crush on her, this is my sister-in-law, and she's a good-looking girl. If she wouldn't be good-looking, I wouldn't do Yibum. I'm not doing a L'shem mitzvah. She's very wealthy, or she's very good-looking, she has a begichus, or nobody wants to marry me. And now this girl is stuck. She has to be, she doesn't have to, she's not stuck. If she refuses, she doesn't have to agree to go through the Yibum. But if the Gemara says, Abishol came up with this chumr, we only permit you to do Yibum if you're doing it L'shem Shamayim. So chumr midirabbonu. So once you need L'shem Shamayim, so the Chachamim recommend it's better to do Chalitza than to do Yibum. How can we psychoanalyze the Yavim to determine whether he's really doing it? We have no barometer, we have no instrument to measure whether he's doing L'shem Shamayim. So with the Rabbanan, we changed it, we say Mitzvahs Chalitza Kedemis L'Mitzvahs Yibum. So B'zman Hazeh, the Ashkenazim, for many years, the Ashkenazim don't permit Yibum. We insist on Chalitza because we follow Abba Shol. The Gemara says at different times, the halacha is always based on the consensus. So there was a period of time that the rabbim, the majority opinion, was like Abishol. Then there's a period of time the majority opinion was not like Abishol. So the question, what's the maskana?
If a woman is physically handicapped and she can't do chalitza, I think they would not the yibum and then give her a get.
Right, right. Then we would insist you have to do yibum and give her a get. Right. That is correct. Yeah. So there was such a character in the 1700s in Germany whose brother died and he wanted to marry the Yevama. So the Rabbanim didn't let him. So he went to court that it's religious persecution. They don't let him follow the Bible. It says in the Bible that mitzvahs yibum kodemus l'mitzvahs chalitz, and the rabbis don't let him fulfill his biblical obligation. So how are you going to explain to the judge that there's a din with the Rabbanon, he has to do the Yibum, the Shem Shemaim, and Aznit is an Iser, and we don't trust him that he's doing the Shem Shemaim. So the Rav met the judge, and he said, you know the man who died. So he said, yeah, he was a local fellow. He says, he used to run around with a lot of girls. And we are concerned, we think that he had an affair with a girl and he had children from that girl. And the din says if he has any child, whether from this wife or any other wife or a single girl, there's no din of chalitza or yibum. The whole din of so chalitza we can require, we're not sure, but we can't permit yibum. So the judge says, I know what you mean, I knew the guy, case dismissed. That's the end of the case. So the Achrayim write, it's a mitzvah the farsim, that unfortunately a lot of times that's the reason why we don't permit the yibum, because we're concerned maybe the guy who died was a character, and maybe he had children from a girlfriend that he had. So that's Shemeres Yavam. Shemeres Yavam means the brother died, he had no children, not from this wife, not from another wife, not out of marriage, had no children at all. So then the din is, if he had children, they died before him, then there is a din of Yibam HaChalitz. Unless he has descendants, grandchildren. If he had children and grandchildren and his children died, but the grandchildren are alive, then there's no din of Yibam HaChalitz.
They had Chalitza. Could they marry at some later time? After the Chalitza?
No.
So that's also
prohibited, yeah. The Gemara says,
Kim Shalai
Bana Shuvla Yivna. It says, when you do Chalitza, so the Yavama says, Kachi Yasa Leish, Asher Lo Yivna is Beis Sochiv. This is what we do because he's not going to do Yivam. How do you know he's not going to do Yivam? You should say, Kachi Yasa Leish, Asher Lo Bana is Beis Sochiv. So that's what the Tanoim understand. The Mishnah understands, Kim Shalai Bana Shuvla Yivna. Since he did Chalitza now, so we don't permit him to do Yivam later on. Once he does Chalitza, you're not allowed to do Yivam. So the Mishnah presents it, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Kiva that that's a din deraisa. The Rambam writes a whole shtickle Torah in the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Mishnah Torah that din deraisa, once you do chalitza, we don't permit you to do the yibum, that's an isa deraisa only according to Rabbi Kiva the Shitosai, and we passed that it's only midirabbanan. We, a whole fantastic shtickle Torah. Unusual for the Rambam. So there's a Rashba makes a whole big spiel about this Rambam, Rambam's Chiddush. That din, once you do chalitza, you're not allowed to do a yibum. The Rambam holds that it's only a din midirabbanan. But the Mishnah says it's a din deraisa. No, that's only according to Rabbi Kiva l'shitasai, and according to the Chachamim, it's only a din. It can't be a din deraisa. Okay.
The story in Atama that convinced him to give chalitza, thinking that he would be able to marry her afterwards, and that's how they fooled him.
Right. The Gemara says like that.
So you see, you can't marry once he gets chalitza.
You cannot, right?
You cannot do it.
So that's the Mishnah. So the Rambam holds that din is only midirabbanan. The Mishnah says. The Mishnah quotes Rabbi Kiva holds beferish that it's a din deraisa, and the Rambam writes that's only Rabbi Kiva l'shitasa has another opinion that enables him to say that it's deraisa. And the way we hold l'alocha, it cannot be. Maximum, it's going to be the Rabban. There is a din, but the Rambam holds only mid the Rabban. Kiva shalabban, shuv le'yivna. Once you do chalitza, you know, we don't permit him to do yibum. Yeah. That was the story, a big asik in history. Rabbi Yosef Kara passed away, and he had three sons. So one of the sons died after Rabbi Yosef Kara, and he had two brothers. One son died leaving no children, and his wife needed chalitza, or yibum, something. So by the Sfardim, they paskin that you may do yibum. The Sfardim hold that it's machlekes. What was the majority psak? So the Gemara says that one time in history, the rav of the Tanoim held like Abishol. That you need, Yibum is only permissible if you do the Shema, the Shem Shemaim, and that's why we recommend everybody should do Chalitza rather than to do Yibum. We don't allow Yibum. And other times in history, they changed the Psak based on what the consensus was. So the question is, what was the final Psak? So that was a big split between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. So for many years, the Sfardim do permit Yibum until Hakam Samadina. After 1948, so the Sfardish Rabbanim got together with the Ashkenazi Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. They figured you have one Medina, you have to have one Rabbanut, you have to have one Psak. You can't have half the people passing like this. So they had all the Svadish Rabbanim signed an agreement to Haskem that they're all going to follow the Ashkenazi Psak, that we don't permit Yibum anymore. Then 20 years later, Chacham Avadya published a tshuva that this Haskem has no value whatsoever. Who gave the Rabbanim the right to Paskin to make a Haskem against the Halacha? The Sfardim hold that it's a mitzvah to do Yibum. So the mitzvah is still betokva. At the time he wrote that tshuva, he was not the chief rabbi. I think he still lived in Egypt at that time. But this is one of his tshuvas. He says, that haskem has no tokif whatsoever. The Rabbanim in 1948 had no right to make an agreement to move away from the Sfardi psa. So the... when the Beis Yosef had passed away, and then one of his three sons died. So there was a toss-up, which of the two sons was going to do Yibum. They followed the Sfardi Psak that you do Yibum. So the oldest son, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah begodol yabim, preferable that the oldest son. So the oldest son was married already. He had already a wife. And the Almana, the girl who was the Almana that we're talking about, what was her name? I forgot her name. It was Rav Chaim Ital's sister. I forgot her first name. She had it by us. It's a boy's name, and by the Sfardim, it's a girl's name. I forgot her name, Vital. So her father told her she shouldn't agree to Yibum because the husband is going to treat his first wife with more respect than her. The two wives, the Sfardim, they have two wives. they do Yibam and they have two wives, everything. And he said, don't agree to Yibam because he's not going to treat you with respect. He's going to treat the first wife with respect. You're just going to be a second fiddle. So they were at a standstill. So the son of Rabbi Yosef Kara insisted he wants to do Yibam, and she insisted she wants Chalitza, and neither gave in to the other, so nothing was moving. So one fine day, she came into shul on a Monday or Thursday morning, and the Beis HaKnesses Arizal there in Svat, and she tiptoed, she walked over. There's no section for the women downstairs. I didn't even know if there's a section upstairs. The Beis HaKnesses Arizal in Svat, I don't remember. So she walked over to the Yavam, and she spit on the floor, and she tiptoed out. So no one knew, what did she flip a lid? What did she spit on the floor? What was that all about? So the Rav in the shul apparently was the one who told her that idea, so he gives a clap and he said, that's it, now we're going to force you to do chalitza. Why? Because the Gemara has it done, Yavam Shirakaka Tachlots. Once she did chalitza, so we don't permit the Yavam to do Yibam, he has to do chalitza, so now he has to do chalitza. What's the din? Yavam Shirakaka Tachlots? Oh, so that's a din midirabbanon. The Seder Hadvar normally is, first you have first the Yavama says, my husband died, man Yavama il hakim shayim l'achiv lo yava yabin, and he says lo chafatzi l'kachto, and then she takes off the shoe, and then you say kochi oisa shalivnes beis achiv, and then she spits on the floor, yakriyas apsukim, and then you have the rikik, then you have the chalitza, then you do the rikik. So the rikik is the last thing done. So the Gemara made a chumra midirabana. Let's say by mistake they did it backwards. Let's say they did the rikika first. So there's a shaila marisain. Somebody who just passes by will see, oh, they just finished the chalitza. She just did the rikika. Lemaisa over here, they did it backwards. They started from the rikika. But the passerby may think that they finished the chalitza already. And kevin shalabana shuv leyivna. Once you finish the chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibam. So that's why they made a chumra with the rabbanon that Yavam Shirakaka, if she did the rikike, we don't permit the Yavam to do Yibam anymore, because of the Marisain people would think that they already did Chalitza, so Tachlot. So that's what the Rav in Tzfas, who was a young man, so he told the girl, no one was budging over here. She insisted she wants Chalitza, he insisted he wants to do Yibam. No one's going to give in. So he told the girl, you spit on the floor, and then we'll force him to do. Chalitza. So that's what they did. They forced him to do chalitza against his wishes. So he said, okay, I don't want to do the chalitza, but they forced me to do chalitza. So there was a young Talmid Chacham who lived in Tzfas at that time. His name is Rabbeinu Yontef Tzahalon. He's known as the Maharitatz. Maharit Tzahalon. They have a collection of tshuvas. At that time he was very young, at 17 or 18 or something. Very young. And he wrote a whole tshuva disagreeing with the Rav that he's wrong. And all the Rabbanim realized that he was right and the Rav was wrong. And that's when he became famous, this Ma'arit Sahalo. He said, that whole din in the Gemara, Yivam Shiroka Katachlods, that means if the Yovim and Yivama made up that they're going to do Chalitza, and by mistake they started doing it backwards, they started with the Rikike, so since they both wanted to do Chalitza, even though they never got to do it, they only did Rikike, so there's a Marisign. But over here, the Yovim never agreed to do Chalitza. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't want to do chalitza just because she decided that she wants the chalitza. She did the rikika, but he didn't agree to anything. So he says the whole din doesn't.
Two sons left over. Why did the other one do something?
There's mitzvah the gadol yabim. So the oldest brother.
But if he was chapa,
he'd get away with
it, though. If he'll chapa, do it first. Then that's it.
But you got to do it the correct way. The correct way is either the oldest son does chalitza or yibum. Even Bizman has said that we do chalitza, we never do yibum, but it's a mitzvah begadol lachlots also. The Mishnah only says mitzvah begadol yabim, the oldest brother. It's a special mitzvah, he should do the yibum. Then the Gemara says, not only yibum, even if you're not going to do yibum, you're going to do chalitza, it's also a mitzvah begadol lachlots. So the younger brother wanted to let the older brother do whatever he's going to do, either chalitza or yibum. So this was the fight between the yavum with the yibum, or what they're going to do.
Excuse me, but what you said right now, mitrabonon, we asser them to do yibum because she spit on it already. And so this is only due to Marisain, right?
Marisain, the people.
So I don't care what their das was. I don't care what their intent was. It doesn't make a difference.
No,
what
no, but it didn't even look like. No one knew what she was doing. She tiptoed into shul. She spit and she walked out. The onlookers didn't know what happened. They didn't associate this Rikika with it. No one put two and two together.
This could have been somebody who just walked in.
I'm sure gonna. They thought she was crazy. She was angry at him, and he said she spit on the floor. Let's say the girl sells shoes. Let's say the Yavama sells shoes in a shoe store. And the Yavam comes in, she puts on a shoe, she takes it off, puts on a shoe. You don't say Yavama Shecholtza, Kivin Shalabana. That's not a Chalitza, the Shem Chalitza. So this Rikike, you have to have Kavana Shneim, Achis Kavan Hu, Matish is Kavan He. Here, the Yavam didn't have Kavana for anything. He didn't know what was going on.
But it's just. But I thought it was because
of Dinamar's. Marisain is only if they.
Somebody
if
it, walks in. Somebody walks in there, right? While this.
Someone walks in and he understands that this is a rikika that's part of a chalitza ceremony. Sure. It's just because you have the rabbanim and the dayanim are sitting and everybody's serious. Here in the context of the shul, it didn't mean anything to them.
If you would have made. What if you have a situation where. The older brother does not want to do Yibum, but he's willing to do Chalitza. But a younger brother wants to do Yibum. So how does the priest, what's the process?
I'm sure the Gemara says something I forgot. It must be a Beferish Gemara. But Zmana said it's not relevant. Zmana said we don't permit either the younger brother or the older brother to do Yibum. But Medina the Gemara, Bizmana Tanoim, before they adopted the position of Abu Shaul, I'm sure the Gemara discusses, what if the Gadol is prepared to do Chalitza and the Katan is prepared to do Yibum, so which one takes precedence? Forgot, must be Beferish in the Gemara Yomamas.
If you had made up with the younger brother that to do Chalitza on the younger brother, jump in and do it without the...
Fine, then it would be good, but yeah, but it would be good, but it's not proper. Whatever you're going to do, whether Chalitza or Yibum, should be done by the older brother.
What if she refuses, then what's the procedure? Then the whole procedure, Sukkot don't make any sense.
She refuses to have either Yibum or Chalitza.
Yeah.
Ganesh, what can you do? She refuses.
So,
the chalitza is only good if they both agree. Yeah, she doesn't want to, you're not going to do yibum. That's out of the question. You can't attack her.
The husband wants to give the young wants the chalitza. She doesn't want.
So you can't do anything. She can't remarry, yeah.
It's like we get, you have a get mahus or something like that. There's no din over here when you force the guy to go through chalitza.
Sometimes you force him to do the chalitza. Sometimes you will force him to do the chalitza. Yeah, sometimes you do, like by a get. Sometimes you force a man to give a get. Sometimes by chalitza also. If he doesn't have a good tataina, then we'll force him to do the chalitza. Sure. So that's what the Gemara has the case. Vechet shemeres yovam. Let's say a brother dies and he leaves no children, no descendants at all, and his wife is a Yavama Lashuk. So let's say he has five brothers who are surviving him. So all five are part of the army, because the Yavama has Zika to all five equally, is considered as if each one of them is like Eres Isha V'lo Lekocha. Afilu Chamisha Achim, even if there are five brothers, and the one who died in the war, and he left no children. So that's why we said that usually the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi that if you got married in the middle of the war, if you marry in the middle of the war, you build a house in the middle of the war, it doesn't pater you from the army. Only if you got married before the war. But here, he didn't do it. This Isha Hikna Lo Min HaShemayim. So that's what the Braisa says, Tanar Bon, it's a Braisa, that if it's the Zika's issues, that's Ayidei Yibum, that's called Zika, that's what we call Zika. That's Isha Hikna Lo Min HaShemayim, that even in the middle of the Muhammad, the laws are pater from the army. Kulam Chasma, all five brothers are pater from the draft, like Eris Isha V'lo Lekocha. Then the Gemara quotes Adrasha. It says, "Mihu isha sheris isha v'loy lekocha." It could have been written v'loy lokach. Why does it say v'loy lekocha? Brat la'amana l'kangoro grusha v'chalutza l'kanyan mamzeres hanisina l'Yisrael v'asola mamzela nosen. Let's say it's a forbidden marriage. A man marries a woman who is not allowed to remain with. A kohen marries a grusha. It's an avera. A kohen gadol marries an almana. Not allowed to. A mamzer marries the Israelis, or Yisrael marries a mamzeris, either direction. You're not allowed to. And the Nisinim is also an Issa. Well, who are the Nisinim? So Rashi explains. The Nisinim, it says in Sefer Yoshua, the Jewish people were commanded to wipe out Hachrim Tachrim and to wipe out the Zainumas. Those are the Zainumas. You have to kill them. So when Yeshua ben Nun's armies were conquering Eretz Yisrael, so a certain group of the Zainumas came to Yeshua ben Nun, and they made believe, they dressed up, they made believe that from some other area in Africa, and they came and they say, "We heard the Jews want to kill everybody in Africa. Please let's make peace. Don't kill us. Yehoshua ben Nun says, where do you live? They say they live in somewhere else. They don't live in Eretz. They said, what are you talking about? We don't plan to kill you. We're only going to kill the Zionists who insist on staying in Eretz Yisrael. So they said, will you make a peace agreement? They made a peace agreement. So the next day he finds out that they fooled him. They swore to Yehoshua ben Nun, and his kingdom swore they're not going to touch them. And then the next day they find out that they're from the Zionists, that they told them a lie. They said that they're not from Eretz Yisrael. And now they got Yehoshua ben Nun to make a peace agreement with them not to kill him. So really the peace agreement wasn't valid and the shvur that they took wasn't meaningful. The whole thing was on false pretenses. But Rabbi Achil Hashem, if he's going to go back on his word, they're going to print it in the newspapers. What are you going to say? He's going to go explain. Netanyahu is going to explain that it was under false, it's not going to help. So he decided he's not going to kill him. But it says, Yehoshua ben Nun told them, look, you guys fooled us. We were supposed to kill you, but we're not going to go back on a word. But since we really have the right to kill you, according to our tzivui, so they're going to make the Givinim into Avodim for Bnei Yisrael. That's the phrase, Vayitneim Yehoshua. So those Zayinumish and his Gairu, they converted. So the Zayinumish and his Gairu are called Nesinim. So that's an Isser. A Jew is permitted to marry a Gioris. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Gioris. A Levi or Yisrael is permitted to marry a Gioris, but not if it's a Gersh and his Gairu from the Zayinumish. That's the Pasuk, Lois Hischatn Bom. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to marry the Zayinumis. So the Gemara has a discussion in Yevamis, when does that go? Lois Hischatn Bom is you're not allowed to intermarry with the non-Jews bin Achri Yusam when they're not Jewish. So that's called Lois Hischatn. Dos Heis Tachasene. En Kiddushin Tovsin. How can you use the verb Lois Hischatn? There is no Chasnus. So one in the Gemara, it's a Machlekes Amoraim. So one opinion in the Gemara, Lois Hischatn obviously goes Lachash and his Gairu. That one of the Zayinumish and his Gairu, Kiddushin Atovsin, but you're not allowed to marry them. That's the Din Lois Hischatn Bom. So the Isin Isinim is an Isa Derais. And the other opinion in the Gemara is no, that Lois Hischatn Bom goes Binach Riusum. I had to use a Lashon Chasnus. There's no Tfisis Kiddushin. How can you talk about a Chasnus? It's a Lashon Mushal. It's not so Meduyak. It really doesn't apply fully. But it means you're not allowed to get married to them, even though the marriage doesn't take effect. It's not meaningful. But after they'll convert, Minatur, you may marry them. And the whole prohibition to marry within the Sinim is only with the Rabbanim. So that's a Machlokes Amoraim. And usually in the Gemara, it's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and many Mesichtas, every other Mesicht and Shas. Rashi writes the Nesinim is an Isa de Rabbanon. And Tosfos always says that was the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara Maskana comes to the conclusion that it's an Isa de Reis. That's the Nesinim. The Nesinim is because Vayitnam Yehoshua, Lechot V'etzim, Lechot V'mayim, so it was prohibited to marry the Nesinim.
But they were Mekabel Gerim from Zionists?
Yeah. Usually you're not allowed to. You have to kill them. But over here, since they swore to them that they're not going to kill them.
When the Gemara talks about Los Hattin, so whether it be Geusim or whether it became a Jew, how did it become a Jew in the first place?
Let's say the Zainumis to kill them out is only cause man they live in Eretz Yisrael. If they run away, it's unto hate. So live somewhere else. Run to England, run to America. Don't live in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a chiv to kill the Zainumis if they live in America.
Los Hischatn still applies.
If they're descendants from the Zainumis, we're not allowed to marry them. Whether it's a man or a woman, whoever converts. Amoini v'lo amoinis mayavi v'lo mayavis. That only applies to the males, not to the females. But this din, Los Hischatn, applies whether it's a male or a female from a descendant from the Zainumis, you're not allowed to marry them after they can.
A mitzvah, you have to wait three generations.
Right.
So what's the thing about the first generation?
They have to marry a Gioris.
No. If he marries a mitzvah, a Gioris, but this is the first generation.
A mitzvah converts. So he's Gerishim. His mitzvah Gerishim. So who is he going to marry? He's Jewish now. Who is he going to marry? Let him marry a Gioris. So their child is going to be a Mitzvah Darsheni. So that, who's that child going to marry? Right there, a Gioris. So that, the children that they'll have, that'll be called Mitzvah Darshlishi. The Mitzvah Vedoyme, the Pasuk says, only Darshlishi, Yovel Lahem Bekal Hashem. Yovel Bekal Hashem means to marry a Jewish girl. One of the women who's studying in the Smicha program from Hagohen Rabbi Avi Weiss was talking to one of the boys in the yeshiva. So they were discussing the problem of mamzerim. What is that? Mamzer has a big problem. Who's he going to marry? So this future Rav, Rabbah, said, you let him marry a guy. That's what the woman, Rosh Yeshiva, said in the yeshiva. It says, Lo yava mamza bekal Hashem. So not allowed to marry Jewish girls, and marry a guy. So the yeshiva bacha, who is arguing with the woman, said, what do you mean? Can't marry a guy. No, that's pshat in the pasuk. That's what her Rosh Yeshiva said. That you're not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, so you marry a Goyish girl. Torah Chadosha. So they had the bacher from the yeshiva was telling me she was carrying on a whole conversation with them, and everything she said was wrong. And the bacher was telling her, no, the Mishnah says this, and the Gemara says it, and Shulchan Aruch says this. So after 45 minutes, the woman realized, wow, you yeshiva guys have centuries of traditions as to what the din is. Of course, we have centuries of tradition. If you don't have, that's what I said last week, last time. If you don't have a tradition, you can reinterpret everything in the Chumash upside down. Nothing makes any sense. Without tradition, you can misinterpret everything.
By Goyim, does it go based on the father or the mother? Let's say
father.
The father.
The Gemara says, whenever you have a mixed marriage of two Goyish nations, one is a Mitzvah, one is a Knani, so it's always determined. Because it's determined by the father. Just like if you have a mixed marriage, both parents are Jewish, so what determines whether the child is going to be a Kohen, a Levi, Shevi Zvulun, Shevi Yisachar, the father? The only exception to the rule is if you have a mixed marriage where one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, so then there are three opinions in the Tanoim. So one opinion is that the children are only Jewish if both parents are Jewish. And one opinion is that either the father or the mother is enough to make the child Jewish. And we pass like the third opinion, like the Mishnah, that it's all determined by the mother. And how come no one says that it's determined by the father? So that's a good question. Why shouldn't the din be the same by everything? When you have a mixed marriage, both parents are Jewish, the status of the children is determined by the father. When you have a mixed marriage, both parents are not Jewish, the status of the children is determined by the father. If you have a mixed marriage, and one parent is Jewish, one parent is non-Jewish, there are three opinions, and nobody says it's determined by the father. How come nobody, if there are three logical opinions, there should have been a fourth opinion? We should have accepted the fourth opinion, which is non-existent. Nobody says that. So that shows something. Okay. We'll have to discuss it some other time. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says, that if the Tana has a drasha, it says, V'loy l'kocho, he did eris and he didn't do nisu, and it's only if she's muteris a love. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, or the Kangola marries an Almona, or the Yisrael marries a Mamzeris, or somebody marries an Isser, one in the Sin and one in the Zainumis, that's an Isser, so then they're not part of the army. Freg the Gemara, why did you need a Drosha, Loi Lokach? It doesn't say Loi Lokach, it says Loi Lokacho, it has the Mashmoes, and Menisha Hamuteris Lo, Lema de Loker Ab Yesaglili. The Mishnah later on is going to quote later on the Dhamma, it quotes the second line in the Mishnah, here, five lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yosef Glili interprets the pasuk in Chumash that it says, "Miho ish ayare barach aleva bielach liyoshev lebeso." If a man is afraid to go to war, so they don't take him in the army, they don't draft him in the army. What does mean yare? What is he afraid of? So he says, "Yare me'averu shebiyod." The one who's a sinner is going to be afraid. We had a gemara in the end of brachas. The gemara has once a bacher was looked very frightened. So his rebbe in yeshiva told him, "You must have done some averu." So he said, what did I do in Aver? It says, the Pasuk says, Pachad de Bitzion Chatoy. Only the sinners are afraid. So the Talmud asked the Rebbe, it says, Tilim, Ashri Yodim Mefachet Tomid. It's the praise of a person who is always afraid. So the Rebbe said, Nahuhu Bedibre Teruhu Dichsib. That means if a person is nervous, maybe I didn't do the mitzvah properly, maybe I spoke Lashon Hara. He's nervous about not observing the mitzvahs properly. But a guy's afraid that he's going to lose his job. He's afraid that they're going to drop an atom bomb. He's afraid about Mili Dalma. That's a sin that he's a sinner. So that's how he says in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yisaglidi says, Miho ish ayori v'rach alevov. They reverse to ayori me'averu shebiyod pochod v'tzion chatoy. The only people who are afraid are the Bali Aveira. Religious people have emunah and bitochen and not afraid. So the Gemara frek takash over here. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me v'loy l'kocho that if it's a forbidden marriage, he's not potter from the draft. If it's a forbidden marriage, the kohen is living with a grusha, so he's doing an avera. He has avera shebiyada, so you don't take him. So should I assume that this brisa that needed a whole drasha doesn't accept Rabbi Yosef Glili? So the Gemara says, no, hachmas kinon, he did kiddushin with the grusha. He didn't live with it yet. So he didn't yet do any avera. The avera is only going to come in. Let's say a kohen marries a grusha. But he didn't have nisuin yet. He's not living with it yet. He didn't do any avera yet. A Yisrael is Mekadish and Mamzeres. just kiddushin. There's no averus to do kiddushin. The averus if you live with the mamzeres. If you go through with the whole marriage, you do nisuin, then you live with the mamzeres. The dia, that's the aver, but just the kiddushin. The Gemara says that's no aver. So the Gemara in kiddushin and dafayin ches, where is it? It's machlokes abai verove. So Abai says kiddush is like a and boil is like a. It says almana. How to say isha grush almana lo yikachu. So lo yikachu, when he does kiddushin, he gets malchus, and if he lives with her after doing kiddushin, then he gets atzveita mal malchus. Because of the pasuk that says, what does the pasuk say? Well, Eichal is Arabi Amav. If a kohen lives with a grusha, a kohen god lives with an alman, and they have children, so all the children will be halolim. So the pasuk says, Well, Eichal is Arabi Amav. Don't cause halolis. That means boal. So Abai says kiddush is like it, and boal is like it. And the Gemara says we don't accept his opinion. We pass like Rava. Here it says Rabba. I think there in kiddushin it says kiddushin ayin ches ayin sham. You see on the side. On the right margin. Why does it say Ayin Sham? It only says Ayin Sham. If here it says Asa, there it says Mutter. Here it says Abai, there it says Rava. If there's some major change. So here it says Rabba, and there it says Rava. There in Kiddushin, it's Machlek, it's Abai, ve Rava. So the Gemara says there, it's Mach, Abai holds Kiddush is like once, and Boal is like once. Layikach means Kiddushin, and Layichal is Arbi Amav, it goes on the Bia when it's possible to give birth to children who will be Halolim. And we pass like Rav Eliyahu Menachayv Malkus. It means Achayivol. Matam, I bet it says Likach. No, Matam Laikach Mishum Laichalel. So the Gemara says since he's ain't a like, it means he didn't do an avera yet. Well, if the coin is Mekadesh a grusha, the kangaroo is Mekadesh an almana, there's not yet any avera. He's leading up to do an avera. If he's going to be Boal, then he's going to get twice Malkus for Laikach and for Laichalel. But Kozman, he only does the Kiddushin. So the Gemara says he didn't yet do an Avera. So you can't say that we don't accept him into the army because he's a Baal Avera. So far, he didn't do an Avera. He's planning to do an Avera, but he didn't do it yet. So you don't let him, you don't pater him from the army. You don't pater him from the army because it's not an Isha Haruya Loi. Shalo Lekocha implies if she's an Isha Haruya Lebailu. If the marriage is a reasonably good marriage. If it's Keneged Adin, so then it's not a Ptur. The Rambam has a famous chiddush on this Gemara. The Rambam says, let's say, Kohen marries civilly a grusha. He never did kiddushin. So the Rambam says, you're not loike. The Rambam says, you're only loike if kiddush a boal. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, if kiddush alone, you're not loike. Kiddush alone is not loike. If kiddush a boal, you like it twice. Chal zaro. There should be a lav loyichalo. There's no lav of layikach. Maybe the Rambam says no. If boal b'li kiddushin, so there's only an iser. There's no malchus. The only time there's malchus is if kiddush a boal. So I remember years ago, there used to be a shofet kohen. He, if I'm not mistaken, I think this in Eretz Yisrael, he was maybe on the Supreme Court.
Yes, he was the head of the Supreme Court.
So he originally learned in yeshiva. I think he learned American Sarav, if I'm not mistaken. He learned in yeshiva, and then he gave up a lot of religious observance. He fell in love with the grusha, and the rabbanut wouldn't let him get married. So he went to Cyprus, he got married, then he came back to Eretz Yisrael. So I remember, I must have been 10 years old. This was a long time ago. They had this written up in all the Jewish newspapers. That the Shofet Kohen married the Grusha in Cyprus and he came to Eretz Yisrael. So when they asked him, Hayitochen, it's an Avera? So he says, it's only an Avera de Rabbana. According to the Rambam, it's only an Avera de Rabbana because the Rambam says, you're only like it if Kiddush a Boal. Boal alone is only an Avera de Rabbana. So those who are familiar, Rav Shach used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Bonavish Yeshiva. So he put out, I think, 7 volumes on the Rambam and he has long essays on the Rambam. Goes on and on and on. His essays, they're not short. So in the Sefer, the volume on Noshim, there's one volume on Noshim and Kedusha. The Rambam has 14 Svarim. So every one of Rav Shach's Svarim covers several sections of the Yad HaChazaka, the Yud-Dal Svarim. So in the section, the volume of Rav Shach's Svarim are called Avi Yezri. So in the back of the Sefer on Noshim, he has one page with very short tidbits, very short paragraphs. He has one brief paragraph where he writes, the Minchas Chinuch writes that according to the Rambam, if a Kohen lives with a Grusha, but he never was Mekadosher, there's no Malkus, so the Minchas Chinuch assumes that it's only an Aver de Rabbanon. So he says, with all due respect for the Minchas Chinuch, it's not correct. Look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHarambam, it's Kimat Mefurish that it's an Issa Deraisa, but it's like Chatzis Shir. If a person eats Chazir less than a Kezai, so Chatzis Shir Asim HaNa Torah, they ain't looking well. Just because there's no Malkas doesn't necessarily imply that it's only the Rabbanon. Sometimes there's no Malkas because not the Iker Lav. So the Iker Lav is Kiddush Shabuah. So I used to wonder many times, what did he write this little comment for? Then I realized this Sefer must have been printed originally. I have the fifth edition of the Sefer. I think the original edition was printed after that Asik Vadish of Fate Kohen. So he wanted people to know that is just not true. So I remember years ago, there was a Kohen who had a bitter divorce from his wife. The Kohen was from Boston. And when he got married the first time, the Masadi Kedushim was Rabbi Soloveitchik. And he had a bitter divorce. He lived in Eretz, he had a bitter divorce. And when he was there in the divorce court in Eretz Yisrael, so there are a lot of people getting divorced. So he fell in love with a woman who was getting divorced from her husband. So they told him, Hayitochin, you're not allowed to marry a grusha. No, it's impossible. He's never going to find a girl like this. The whole world. That's what he thought. As I told him, that's what you thought the first time also. When you married your first wife, you thought he's never going to find anybody like this. You're mistaken the first time. You're mistaken the second time. So he said, no. He spoke to Orthodox rabbis. He was from America. He spoke to Orthodox rabbis. They told him, get married by a reform rabbi. Get married by a justice of the peace. So it'll only be an Issa Derabbanan. It's not so bad. It's only an Issa Deraisa if Kiddush Shabbal, according to Rambam. But if he just live with the woman and there's no Kiddush, it's only an Issa Derabbanan. So if a Pikuach Nefesh, he can't find anyone else in the world, so you'll violate an Issa Derabbanan. The guy was prepared to do that. So he went to Rabbi Avi Weiss. He refused to be Masada Kiddushin for him. This was Amaisa for many years ago. He went. There were Orthodox rabbis from Manhattan who told him this Eitzah, but then when he started going around to the he wanted to have an Orthodox rabbi. None of the Orthodox rabbis agreed to be Masada Kiddushin. So I didn't really know the guy. So someone, his brother-in-law was learning in the Kollel. So his brother-in-law asked me I should call him on the phone and talk to him. So I spoke to him on the phone for an hour. I talked myself for an hour. So somehow I convinced him that he met a nice girl, Nishkin Grusha, and he lived happily ever after. He married her. People made a whole craziness based on this Rambam that it's only an Issa Deraisa Kiddush Shabbal. It was only Baal without Kiddush on Issa Derabbanan, so it's not so bad. An Issa Derabbanan is not so bad. That's how the conservatives start everything. Once you knock it down to the level of the Derabbanan, so hey Mamru v'hey Mamru. We are also rabbis. So we have the authority to pasken against the rabbi's prohibition. Yeah. Okay. The end of Parshas Kisisa, Torah tells the whole story about the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu came down after 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai. He comes down with the Luchas and he sees the Jews are worshipping the Egel Azov. So he smashes the Luchas and he goes up for 40 days and 40 nights to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He shouldn't wipe out the Jewish people. Then the Rabbeinu Shalom says, okay, come back up on Har Sinai. So Luchas and Luchas Albanim Karishonim, Chasapti Luchas Advarim, Asher Hayu. Moshe Rabbeinu is there for another 40 days and 40 nights, comes down on Yom Kippur with the Luchos Shniyos. So all of a sudden when he comes down the second time with the Luchos Shniyos, his karnei hoyd, his face is shining so much that the people can't take it. So when he's saying over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael for the 40 years in the desert, when he says over the dinim so they can take it, and the minute he finishes saying over the dinim, it's the shining face that he had was so overpowering they couldn't take it. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to put a masveh, had to put a mask on his face. Sometimes a person is very charismatic, and he can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. He can sell you a bill of goods. So that's a shala. How do we know that what Moshe Rabbeinu said is true? Maybe he was a very charismatic speaker, and he hoodwinked us into believing that the Torah was made on Shemaim. So the answer is no, it was klar with the tongue. First of all, he was a klad peh, klad loshen. He was not charismatic, he couldn't speak well. Only when he said the dinim, then he spoke normally. When he finished saying the dinim, he was stuttering and stammering, and the people saw that his mamish chinim adaberes mitoch rana. When he was saying the dinim, it wasn't his voice. He had such a loud voice. Everyone was able to hear. When he finished saying the dinim, he was talking about the weather and the baseball game and politics. He couldn't talk a normal sentence. And then secondly, when he was saying over the dinim, they were able to take it. When he finished saying the dinim, he starts talking about the weather and the other things. So then they couldn't take the shining face that he had, and they had to put on the masvah. So that's how everybody knew at that time that this was Mamish Torah Min HaShamayim. It wasn't that he was a charismatic speaker at all. It was because of the content. They were all convinced that this was Torah Min HaShamayim. So that's the Shaila. Why was it that he only got the Karnei Hod the second time around, after the Luchos Shnius? When he came down, when they were dancing around the Eagle, it doesn't appear that he had the Karnei Hod. It was only the second time around. So I think it's usually assumed, the Beis HaLevi has a long essay at the end of the second chelik of the Shabbos Jewish Beis HaLevi, has a collection of 17 essays. So the last essay is on this topic. So he claims that there was a major difference between the first Luchos and the second Luchos. The first Luchos had Kol HaTorah Kula written. There wasn't a Torah Shebal Peh. According to the first plan, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh. Not only did it have the Aseres HaDibros, the Gemara has other words there. So apparently, he quotes Midrashim and the Zohar like that. Everything was written on the Luchos, and it's like you would have a whole library there. Whenever you have any Shabbos, just look on the Luchos, and the answer would appear. And as when it came time when they smashed the luchas and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to write again, so all of the oisios of the Torah, of the rest of the Torah of Perchas Bavir, when Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas, the oisios of Perchas Bavir, the only thing that remained on the luchas were the actual Aseres HaDibros when he smashed them. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Psa luchas shnei luchas alvarim karishim v'chasavti luchas hadvarim asher hayu ala luchas harishonim asher shibarta. This time I'm only going to engrave the Aseres HaDibros. The rest of the Torah will be written in the Torah, and much will be Torah Shebal Peh. So the whole plan to give a Torah Shebal Peh was only, that was the Mahadura Shniyah. That was the second plan, when the second Luchas were given. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that we have 2 days in the year that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. One is Shavuos, and one is Yom Kippur. So Rav Shlomo Levilner raises the question and says, what do you need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah? So Shavuos is the celebration of Kabbalah Torah Shebichzav. And Yom Kippurim is a celebration of the new version that is going to be a Torah Shebichzav with a Torah Shebal Peh. That's why you have so much Torah Shebal Peh in Avodas Yom Kippurim. If you follow what it says in Chumash, you'll be doing the Avodah incorrectly. It's not exactly written in the proper order. Medafon coming to the Torah Shebal Peh in order to know how to do Avodas Yom Kippurim. So that's what's usually assumed, that the Karnei Hod only shine out from the big Talmud Chacham if he has a lot of Torah Shebal Peh within him. The first time there was no Torah Shebal Peh, everything was Torah Shebichzav, so there was nothing contained within Moshe Rabbeinu. There wasn't on the Luchas. But according to the second program, that there's going to be a big chunk of Torah Shebal Peh, so the Torah Shebal Peh shining out from Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's why he had the Karnei Hod. I think that's the way it's usually assumed. So years ago, there was a Fabrengen by the Lubavitcher Rebbe where they impressed upon Rav Soloveitchik that he should participate. Famously wrote it up in all the newspapers. So a couple of years ago, someone wrote in the Yiddish newspaper that he had spoken to Rav Soloveitchik after the Fabrengen, and he asked him what was his impression, and he said he enjoyed it very much. Rav Soloveitchik enjoyed that Fabrengen very much. And at that time, Rav Soloveitchik said this vort on the Parsha. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was only zecher to the Karnei Hod the second time around? So he said the first time around is the Gevena Rosh Yeshiva. He was in the ivory towers there. He's in heaven, sitting and learning b'chavrusa with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. He's teaching him Kol HaTorah Kula. Otnish ken shaychas with the people. He's going to come and he's going to teach Torah to the people. He's going to give a shiurim. So you don't deserve Karnei Hod. But then for 40 days and 40 nights, he was praying that the Rebbeinu Shlomo shouldn't destroy Klal Yisrael. He was like a chassidish Rebbe. Chassidish Rebbe, they deserve Karnei Hod. Rosh Yeshivas don't deserve. That's what he said after the Fabrengen. He saw how much cover they gave to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he saw that the way he hangs around, it's not that they didn't give him the cover, he would run away from that cover. He was, and it was by nature, he was a cult person. He didn't like this kind of personality cult. So he said, the second time around, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Madrega of a Rebbe. The first time he was a Rosh Yeshiva. Rebbe deserves Karnei Hod.
It says Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, raise down. You're in heaven. You go down. Then he broke the law. You got to go back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bruchim Teyu. I think Rabbi David B. Hollander sent me this article from the Yiddish newspaper. Passed away a couple of years ago when it came out, about 5 years ago. He sent me this article. He thought I would enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be in the neighborhood.
Yes. Sure.
Hollander's wife just passed away.
Yeah.